Classic Business with Michael Avery, sponsored by Alex Forbes, for insight, advice, and impact.
Welcome back to Classic Business. Now, almost half a century after Sun City redefined leisure investment in South Africa and Sol Kersner, a new benchmark is being set, this time on KwaZulu-Natal's north coast. The 2 billion rand Club Med Resort, which is developed by the Collins Residential Consortium, has been announced as the most expensive destination-scale tourism project in the country's history and open for bookings this week. But beyond the price tag, I think lies a much bigger story about what this actually means for regional development and investment appetite and South Africa's ability to finance and deliver world-class tourism infrastructure. And to unpack that, I'm joined by Vumiso Inyamazana, Regional Head for Corporate Property Finance at Absa CIB, Corporate Investment Bank. Vumiso, welcome. Let's just start with the headline. I mean, 2 billion rand for a single resort. What makes this particular Club Med development so significant in the context of South Africa's tourism sector?
Yeah, firstly, good afternoon, Michael, and hello everyone to your listeners. So I think what makes it such a big differential development, Michael, in our world is the fact that it's the first Club Med in South Africa, and it's quite significant in terms of quantum, plus also in terms of the developmental impact that it has got. So first Club Med in South Africa, and that also happens to be in KZN, north coast of KZN. And what's so special is obviously the brand that Club Med carries. It's a well-recognized global brand that has got a huge international following. And they came into this north coast, which is an unspoiled coastline. So just to put it into context, Michael, there is no five-star hotel from Oyster Box up to Maputo. So that's just how significant this asset is to that region. And there's no doubt that it's going to stimulate economic activity across the entire supply and value chain. We're going to see a lot of international flow of airlines. Obviously, Air France has committed that they will be operating in KZN via Kinshasa International Airport. Then besides the international travelers that Club Med attracts, Michael, we also have a huge domestic market that is untapped. I'm sure you've seen that a lot of South Africans, they do go to Mauritius and all that, yeah, the other different destinations, you know, looking for such a similar offering. So now it's right at their doorstep, and we're definitely going to see that domestic market coming into KZN. And I think the other aspect, Michael, that is quite significant about this Club Med is the fact that it's a beach and bush resort. So it's quite a unique combination, the first in the world where you can come to Club Med North Coast and can still get to experience, you know, the bush in the north around Pongola. There is a new game reserve that is being constructed called Mpilo Game Reserve. So that combination is quite unique and it's quite exciting, I think, for KZN. And that makes it, you know, a sustainable project in our view, you know, going forward. Yeah.
It really is. I mean, if you look at it, Sun City became almost mythical in the way it anchored a regional economy. And from what you've described, and it's this destination scale tourism offering, the size of it, the fact that you've got beach and bush. Do you see Club Med North Coast potentially doing something similar for KZN? Or has the model perhaps evolved since those early days of destination tourism?
So I think it is already, the impact, we've already started seeing it, Michael. So I think the impact of a Club Med, one is obviously in terms of the direct jobs that it creates. So far, I think we're talking of about 800 direct jobs. Then we've got about 1,500 estimated indirect jobs.
Wow.
And during the construction alone, we're talking of over 1,200 jobs that have been created. And what's so important to mention also is that the source of those, of that employment creation, is from Kwadukuza and Ilembe. So the impact that it has already shown to the local community is quite huge. Then it goes beyond that, Michael, to even the supply chain and the value and supply chain, like I've mentioned earlier. So they're planning to source all their materials as well as produce for the Club Med from the local community. So at least 60% of the inputs, you know, into the Club Med is going to be sourced locally. So that is going to have a huge impact to the local farming community. So just imagine in terms of the number of eggs, you know, that can go into a Club Med at any particular point in time. Then a Club Med also just creates these microeconomies. So you're talking of laundry, transports, you know, all those kind of things. So it's quite huge and it becomes very catalytic. And to be honest, I've already started seeing some of the inquiries coming from different spheres of the economy, just in terms of people now trying to build around a Club Med. So opportunities around shopping centers, opportunities around accommodation and all those kind of things, a hospital. So it does create that catalytic nature, you know, in its form that can actually easily drive, you know, the economy.
Absolutely. I mean, the standalone numbers through construction that you mentioned are impressive, but really is it is those linkages that matter, the micro industries that spring up and around that that are sustainable. And then you've also got the infrastructure, because you've upgraded roads and water and digital. That's going to benefit the surrounding communities as well. It really has great multiplier effects, as the economists like to say. When it comes to the funding of this, projects of this scale don't get financed easily because they're greenfield. So no prior cash flows, it's high risk, long paybacks. How did ABSA approach structuring such a complex deal? And what makes a bank comfortable lending into this kind of uncertainty?
So I need to mention that it's not the first greenfield project that we've done as ABSA. And in KZN, I'm sure you might have seen that we've been involved in a couple of these greenfield projects, your Zimbali Lakes, your West Town Square, your Sibai, and the like. So it's complicated in terms of financing, but I think the skill that we've got, you know, as a financier. So there are obviously challenges in terms of the regulations, the compliance, which is a piece that needs to be dealt with by the local, district, and provincial municipalities, just to enable, you know, at ease of doing business, because it's not easy to just come into a greenfield project and, you know, get all the boxes ticked from a compliance perspective. So what's so special is that I think there's been a lot of support from all those spheres of government. Then the financing part of it, Michael, it needs to be very innovative, because it's not going to be just a senior debt play coming in and funding 100% of this project. I think the capital structure was quite important, and we spent a lot of time just deliberating on what will be the optimal capital structure for this Club Med, seeing that it's over 2.5 billion in terms of, you know, at outlay. So there were different instruments that we put into place. In our instance, obviously, we started as a development at a development stage where we provide funding for the development stage. Then that funding then converts into a long-term loan. And I'm sure you've also heard that it's a three-bank deal. So we've got IDC, we've got African Bank, we've got ABSA. ABSA took a lead arranger mandate in this financing. And IDC and African Bank also came in at an equity participation level. So that also helped just to provide that buffer. So there's a lot of equity that has gone into the project before any debt funder, you know, can come in. So I think that has also just helped to de-risk the project.
Yeah, and equity from the Collins Residential Consortium as well.
100%.
I mean, there are a lot of lessons. It's not your first rodeo, as you say, Vumiso. So, but it really is. I mean, if you look at it, it looks like a model that once you've done it once, we should be able to repeat. I mean, surely we should be able to take this success elsewhere, say in the Eastern Cape or maybe even Limpopo, where tourism potential is huge, but the capital flows maybe haven't followed to the same extent.
Mm-hmm. No, 100%. So I think what's important, Michael, is your point that the cash flows are not proven. But what makes the impact, obviously, is the Club Med brand itself and just the offtake, you know, of any development of this nature. So I think we probably don't market South Africa well enough, or we don't see the value that sits within this country. So to your point, other provinces, Mpumalanga, Limpopo, there are a lot of gems that sit in those areas. The climate is just perfect.
Yeah.
You know, you've got your Kruger and Mpumalanga that extends up to Limpopo. So all those attractions can easily attract, you know, an inflow into the economy and can actually lead to something similar to Club Med, you know, being developed. So definitely there are opportunities. And I think this Club Med opportunity Open doors, you know, to other investors to also see South Africa as an investment destination.
Very exciting. You know, I returned from a week in Kenya last week facilitating the Employee Benefit Summit for East Africa, and it was in Diani Beach, a very popular East African tourism destination. And with all due respect, it's beautiful. But in terms of the offering, you know, I think South Africa, you know, we compete at an equal, if not higher level. And in terms of the quality of our service, you know, our service industry is also highly underrated when you look at what else is 100%. On offer out there. Just lastly, I mean, you also touch on kind of the policy environment and confidence and ensuring that you could get all the approvals and, you know, reliable infrastructure is obviously important. If you could give policymakers one recommendation from this project to unlock more destination scale projects, what would it be?
So I think ease of doing business is very important, Mike. I think a lot of investors, they shy away from projects because it's not easy to do business. So plan approvals, for example, I don't see any reason why a project like a Club Med, for example, can have those delays where you probably wait for 2 years, you know, to get plan approvals. So I think regulators and all the compliance officials, I think they need to consider ease of doing business on any of those projects. And I think in KZN in particular, I think across the province, you look at eThekwini, for example, massive change over the last 2 years via that task force that was set up by the president.
Yeah.
Now you can get, like, you know, building plan approvals within weeks. So similarly, I think in Kwadukuza, the municipality was quite on board in terms of unlocking this opportunity. So I think that is quite critical. Ease of doing business is very important because it ends up creating a lot of friction and it becomes costly. Remember, like projects like this, they're time dependent. So the more you delay, then the more the costs also go up in escalations and the like. So I think that is quite important that we just create a healthy environment for investors to come and invest in different areas of the economy.
Fantastic insights. Vumiso Nyamazana, thank you very much, Regional Head for Corporate Property Finance at Absa CIB. I think it's really encouraging to see that change on the ground is starting to build investor confidence. We need to be rolling out more of that welcome mat. And, you know, it's just a reminder that this investment, this kind of destination scale tourism, it's not just about five-star resorts. They're great. I've got kids. I love Club Meds. They've got those kids clubs for them. But it's about anchoring growth. It's confidence. It's opportunity in those places that really need it most. So thanks so much for your time and insights here on Classic Business.
Thank you so much, Mike. I appreciate your time.
Classic Business with Michael Avery, sponsored by Alex Forbes, for insight, advice, and impact.